Billy started out this morning with a young lady who would not quit. Tonight, I want to talk to all of us about keeping going, enduring, and an amazing chain of events that it takes to get us in the race, that is the Christian race, and to keep going in that race. I want to do so by taking a look at a gentleman that's been in the news a lot. The first part of the news that he was in was good. The second part has not been good. If I understand how things are, he's perhaps in prison for a crime that he committed. But I want to share with you what it takes to get started. Oscar Pistorius is a runner from South Africa. When he was born, he did not have fibulas. He did not have the thinner bone in the leg below the knee, between the knee and the ankle. He was born without it. And because of that, he had to have his legs amputated before he learned to walk. And so he started life with a tremendous challenge. And as he started facing this challenge, he wanted to do something. So he started running track in high school. And you can see the lower part of his legs that he has a prosthesis on. When he was in high school running track, he got his first pair of flex foot Cheetahs. And if you've ever seen him run, if you've watched any of the Olympics or any of the races that he was in, it's pretty amazing. He beat some very good runners. There were people that were clamoring that it wasn't fair that those flex Cheetahs gave him an extra spring, but without them, there would be no way that he could participate. In an Athens Paralympics, he won the 200-meter medal, gold medal. Started running very well. And then he graduated to such a degree that he, if I can get that next point up there, it should come sometime. But in 2007, he competed internationally with people who did not have a handicap. People who had just worked hard and they were able-bodied, they had no problems. He competed in that particular meet in 2007. And I remember watching him for the first time in the Olympics. A pretty amazing story, an amazing chain of events. Born without bones in his lower legs, where he had to have his legs amputated, he developed the desire to run so much that he would take on these prosthesis legs and feet and do what he did. It was unthinkable. Well, tonight, I want to, for a few minutes, look at Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Very familiar passage to us. And I want us to see an amazing chain of events. First of all, that helps us get into the Christian race. But if we stay in the Christian race, these events are going to be so important to us every day of our lives. As we start thinking about our own lives and running the race that is set before us with patience, there are a number of things that we are going to need to do. I seem to have lost my next point, but you know what? It'll come back. I knew it. In Christianity, there's always an amazing chain of events that lead to success. If you're successful tonight, it's not because there are no problems. It's not because there are no temptations. It's not because there are no failures on your part or my part. We need help every day. And God has set up some neat things that we need to think about. We need to begin with faith. That is an absolute trust in God. Trust what God says. Don't trust what we want God to say. Don't trust what we think it would have been better if God had said this. Trust what God has to say. As we begin this passage, it begins by saying, therefore, since we have been justified by
faith. That word justified is a neat word. I remember back when I was at Freed Hardeman, there was a Bible teacher named Albert Lemons. And Albert Lemons was the first guy that I ever said, the word justified is really very simple. It means just if I'd justified, just if I had never sinned. That's what God does for us. He puts us in a relationship with Him, and it's the only way we can be in a relationship with Him. Just if I had never sinned. It is though I've never made a mistake. And my relationship with God tonight is that way. With my relationship with God, it is just if I had never sinned. Because my faith in God, in Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior, has led me to be obedient to Him. And as we obey Him, His blood cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 1, 7 says it keeps on cleansing us, a present tense, which means it keeps on doing that. It's not a one-point thing. God tonight is in the process of keeping every one of us who are members of the body of Christ just as if we had never sinned. That's a great step. And as we continue to think about justification, it is in the past tense. We have been. We're already there. It's not something God's going to do when we stand before judgment. It's something God has already done through Jesus Christ. And on our behalf, Jesus shed His blood so that you and I could be today just if I had never sinned. We have been justified. We're not in the process of waiting for that. It's already happened. And to be justified means this. Do you feel this tonight? If you're a child of God and you see yourself as a faithful child of God, I'm not talking about do you see yourself as without any sin, you don't ever make any mistakes. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about if you see yourself as working hard to do God's will, and when you make a mistake, you turn back to God and you tell Him that's not who you want to be. That is not what you want to be. You want to be like Him, and you're sorry for the mistake, and you're going to start working even harder, you see, tonight. Do you feel guiltless, without guilt? Do you feel uncondemned? And do you feel positively righteous? That's what God wants for us, and it only comes about because of faith. Therefore, having been justified by faith. Once we're justified, why would we not be at peace? Why would we be uptight? Why would we be uptight about our spiritual lives? Why would we go around wondering if we're good enough? God tells us the answer to that. We're not. Not one of us is good enough. So if you go around thinking that, look at what God says. He's telling you you're not good enough on your own. But by faith, you have been justified. You are guiltless. You are uncondemned. You are clean and free from sin. And because of that, you can relax in the greatest way possible before God. Now, does that mean that you don't have any concerns about school? Y'all don't do final exams in high school, do you? Well, these guys and gals around here going to college, you've got final exams coming, don't you? You should have a little bit of pressure on yourself. Enough pressure to study and prepare and do well. But that's a whole different thing than wondering if you're good enough to live with God forever. God has taken care of that. If you're a Christian, you can be at peace and you can relax. Sin and rebellion, we all are aware. That's what makes us enemies of God. James chapter 4 says, don't you know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? We fight with God. We're at odds with God if we're trying to live a worldly kind of life. If we're trying to satisfy the joy and peace and happiness that comes from participating in the world and finding joy in what the world offers and peace and security in what the world offers, you're going to lose. You will not find it. Sin, a rebellion against God, makes you an enemy of God, but because of our relationship with God, we can have peace. But look at Romans 8 and verse 7. Romans 8 and verse 7 says, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. If you're thinking, I've got it made because I'm good looking, or I'm smart, or I'm rich, or I'm anything that attaches us to this world, you're in trouble. You are in a place of hostility, a relationship of hostility with God. But if you submit to God's law, because of your faith, you trust Him and you obey Him, you have been justified, guiltless, without sin tonight, because of God's goodness, not because of your own, and you are in a good place with God. Now, as we think about this great message, peace is ours because God ends the hostility with us. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2, Israel was told that sin separates them from God. It still does. That's not just an Old Testament thing. If you are living a sinful life and you consistently choose sin, it's not about making a mistake every now and then, but turning to God and wanting to be like God. It's a consistent thing. You keep on sinning. You are in a hostile relationship with God tonight. That's why faith in God, faith in Jesus Christ, being justified by Him, can lead you to the peace that you really need. Faith also leads to grace. Sometimes it seems to me that people think in terms of forgiveness with regard to grace in the same way they think with God's grace coming to us every day. There's not a person in this room that deserves every gift that God has given you today. But He gives you life. Think about the people who are in a hostile relationship with God. God loves them so much that He's giving them life. He's giving them opportunities. He's sending people and circumstances their way to help them. Do they deserve it? Absolutely not. But God's grace comes anyway. But that's a different point than God's grace that is greater than all of our sin, as we have sung today. God's grace can cover our sins, but it comes through faith. We like to read from Ephesians chapter 2, "For by grace are you saved." People like to quit right there, because that means, you know, if I believe that Jesus is God's Son and that He shed His blood for me, I'm good to go. I've got God's grace and He's going to clean me up and make me whole. But it says, through faith in Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It is the gift of God. And so the grace that comes to us that removes our sin comes only through faith in Jesus Christ, who leads us to do what we need to do, to accept the grace of God. When we reject the teaching of Christ regarding the forgiveness of sins, we reject God's grace with regard to forgiveness of sin. Will He give someone today life that's in a hostile relationship with Him? Well, yeah. They deserve to die, but God gives them life. All of us deserve to die spiritually because we sin and fall short of the glory of God. But through faith, we have peace because we've been justified. Just if I had never sinned. What a great opportunity we have to be in Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have obtained access by faith into this grace wherein we stand right today. I believe that every one of you who is a faithful child of God is standing, even though you're sitting, you are standing in the grace of God. You are there. You are covered. Your sins have been removed. What a tremendous blessing and opportunity. Present tense, we stand in His grace. Almost 10 times out of 9, as our good friend Dal Flatt used to say, we say grace is God's unmerited favor. But it's by faith that we stand right now in every benefit of God's grace. Everybody alive in the world today stands in God's grace in some way. But the access to the forgiveness of sins is a very special thing in relation to what God teaches us and what we need. Now, if we're standing in that grace and we are justified, never sinned, and we are at peace with God, wouldn't you want to rejoice? Wouldn't you want to think, what a blessed person I am? Verse 2 says, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You can hope, not because you are in a place where you'll never make another mistake. You're going to make them. If you young folks live as long as I've lived, I can't even tell you how many mistakes you're going to make. It's going to be a truckload, several truckloads, to tell you the truth. But what a great blessing. You can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God because through faith and obedience to God, it is just as if I had never sinned, and you can have peace knowing that your life is in a great place with God. Hope. We're confident. How many people do you know lack confidence in their salvation? Hope is confident expectation. Well, I hope, you know, I was baptized a long time ago, and I've been going to church, and I've been reading the Bible, and we just keep on talking, and we say, well, I hope that God will save me. God doesn't want that kind of a person. God did not give us that kind of a life. God didn't want people who are not strong. We didn't work for God to have a spirit of fear. We didn't work for God and do what God wants us to do so that we could be afraid all of our lives and be sad and worried and anxious all of our lives about the spiritual relationship that we have with God. Verse 3 says, our confidence leads to rejoicing even in our suffering. And as we think, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 has some very special things to say to us. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the testing genuineness of your faith, is your faith real? Is it genuine? It's going to be tested by trials. It is more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire. It may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. My hope is that all of us trust in the grace that God offers to us through faith in Christ Jesus, so that you would choose to obey Him and be just as if you had never sinned. Joy in trials produces endurance. If you can look at life, everybody in this room is going to be tested in one way or another. Some of you are going through trials now. All kinds of them exist. Billy listed, I believe, 7 different kinds of problems that the devil uses to get us. Lots of pressure, lots of struggles, lots of difficulties. But if you can take the attitude that Paul is talking about in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, you can have joy in the middle of trials, and you can say tonight, I am not quitting. You can be like that young lady Billy showed us in that race where she's crawling to get to the finish line. You may feel like you're crawling to get to the finish line, but God sees you flying high if you are trusting in Him and working hard. We can rejoice over the fact that this kind of suffering that we go through brings us endurance so that we can live through what God has for us. Just plain stick-to-itiveness, staying power, the ability to last the distance. Just keep going. There may be a student in this room that's going to graduate Friday night. You're only going to graduate because you stuck to it. You just kept going. Somebody asked me one time, how do you ever get a doctoral degree? I said, well, that's pretty simple. I've got one. You sign up for a class, and you meet it, and you study, and you take the test, you turn the papers in, you finish that class, and guess what? You get to sign up for another one. And you keep doing that until you meet the requirements, and one day they said, you stuck to it, here's your degree. That's the way you get a degree. That's the way you succeed at life. God wants us to be people that are going to stay with it. He doesn't intend to produce weak and spineless sons and daughters who give up when the going gets tough, when you're under pressure, or when there's opposition to your life. He wants you and me to be strong. But you see, we've already said you can't do that on your own. It's about being in a right relationship with Him. This amazing series of events that help us. Because you see, the end result is the production of a character that is similar to God. And the more mature you grow, the longer you work at it, and the better you work at it, the more you become like God. 2 Corinthians 3:18 just teaches us that we are becoming more like Christ. We're developing more of His image. And I read an illustration that I may have shared with you before about before we had glass mirrors, metal was used. And they would use metal sometimes that if you look at it, you couldn't see any reflection in it. But they begin to rub and they work on that piece of metal. And the more they work on it, the more it begins to shine, and then it begins to reflect. And before long, if you work hard enough and long enough at it, you can look into that piece of metal that has now become a mirror and see your image. That's what God wants with us, except He doesn't want us working to see our image in us. He wants us working so that we can be with the Apostle Paul when he said, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Tonight, if you've developed a tough way to live life, that is, you are going to work at it. You're going to keep going. When life brings its problems, you keep going. You work hard at it. Because you see, if you keep on enduring, that's the kind of thing that produces the character of Christ. Remember, going back to that passage we've read several times this month from Hebrews chapter 12, it was Christ who endured the suffering and the shame of the cross to become your Savior. He was not a Savior before He came to this earth. He was your Savior when He came here, endured the suffering, shed His blood, died on the cross, was buried and raised to overcome death. That's when He became your Savior. He had to learn what it was like to obey. He had to learn what it was like to suffer. He had to learn what it was like to endure. Those are this world kinds of things. And so when we endure, we keep going, we become like the Christ. When we think about the message that is here, it seems quite clear to us that we ought to do what God wants us to do. And as we think about the message of the moment, we want to keep enduring to produce godly lives. And as we look at this, when a person's life is yielded to the point where God can produce the image of Christ, it produces hope. When we see people around us who love, who are joyful, who are peaceful, who are long-suffering, do you not see the fruit of the Spirit? Love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and meekness and kindness. Those things against which there is no law.
Because that is when you produce the character that belongs to the Lord. Hope produces godly character. And this passage teaches us in verse 5, hope does not put us to shame. We have to be ashamed. I'm not ashamed, Paul says, of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God. It is where you can hear what you need to hear to be just as though you had never sinned. The power of the gospel message that teaches us to believe in Jesus Christ as God's Son, to confess His name as we repent of our sins and be buried with Him in baptism, to be raised to walk in newness of life. God's heart, God's love has been poured out into our hearts by the Spirit of God. What an unbelievable blessing. Tonight, as I think about this message, and I think about what a powerful, powerful encouragement we need to hang in there, because life is hard. Not being pessimistic, just ask anybody that's lived very long in this world, it's tough. And some days are really tough. But every day with the Lord, no matter how tough this world makes life, God gives you reasons of peace and joy. What an unthankful blessing. If you're not a Christian, why would you want to leave without that tonight? If you are a child of God, why would you not want to rejoice and be joyful and happy that you are blessed just as if you had never sinned? We have an opportunity tonight as we sing this next song for anyone to respond in a public way who feels the need to do so. Our hope, our prayer, our aim is for all of us to be with the Lord just as if we had never sinned. Come as we stand and sing if you have the need.